The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We're back. We got Big D on. We're going to talk Elimination Chamber and the road to WrestleMania. A show that you were thinking about going to live and now probably not. So this will be interesting. We'll kind of go over the ups and downs of your decisions when it comes to that, because a lot has happened in the creative to change WrestleMania, which you and I have had conversations about. But how's it going, man? Welcome.
Yes, of course. I'm happy to be here. We're going to talk a little wrestling, of course. Now that's it. No more PLEs. It's WrestleMania next. And they got 5 weeks and two nights. And they're probably going to throw extra stuff on that SmackDown. Remember how the Andre Battle Royals were on that show?
Yes.
They'll probably do that, yeah. And also, they got to start announcing Hall of Fame people, bro. We know Heyman and Pillman are likely going to go in, but who else?
Is that the rumor? Is Brian Pillman and Paul Heyman?
Yeah, because Heyman's in Philly, and he deserves it for sure. And then Pillman, because you know the whole thing about how WWE now has Brian Pillman Sr. as a legend. Now they got the money, the family to get money.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, they're doing that. And then this is not a rumor or a scoop. This is what I want. I feel like Sabu should go in the Hall of Fame. And the reason why is because even like early ECW, 92, 93, 94, 95, Sabu was like the draw. He was like the ECW version of Jimmy Snuka in the early 80s. He might not have been the champion, but he was the guy that drew people. And even though he might not be considered one of the all-time great workers, I do think he should be in the Hall of Fame for Philly. I really do. Of all the ECW guys alongside Heyman, I think he should be the first one.
Is RVD in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he went in 2020, I think.
Okay. I was just thinking, because Sabu, the last time I saw Sabu, he was actually on AEW TV.
That's right. We were on that show when he did the dive on through the table. I popped because I loved it. Yeah, I love seeing Sabu.
All right, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. I'm interested. How did you watch this show? Did you try and watch it live?
Oh, I did watch it live. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, 4:45. I had a friend of mine staying over here, and we turned it on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the reason why I say it's amazing is because I did not watch it live. Now, the earliest for me, it would have been like 2 a.m., so that was a non-starter. Though I do know some people who watched it at like 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. like yourself. I don't know anybody yet on the No, I do know somebody on the West Coast who did wake up and watch it, because my buddy who works for The Ringer, Ben Cruz, they did a post show on Bleacher Report. So that's why he did. But this was a long show to watch live.
I agree. It was 3.5 hours and only had 4 matches. And then you're wondering, well, what the hell? But the chamber matches got plenty of time. So at least there was that. I mean, match quality wise, it was good. There's nothing bad on the show.
I thought when I was clicking through, I was like, I'm so thankful that I have not, I didn't spoil myself, but two, I didn't watch it live because I was able to skip through all of these like back padding video packages that they were doing and
about Australia,
just stuff that we've seen on TV constantly. And then there was just so, you know, all the entrance, some people like the entrance. I didn't need to see the entrances for the Elimination Chamber matches, but I think I got through the entire show in about 2 hours, I think. So
yeah, that would make sense. You cut out all the like Triple H talking about the attendance and all that. Yeah, 2 hours makes sense.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that you thought all the matches were good. I would say
there was some wonky stuff in the main event. Nia Jax and Rhea, there was a couple of wonky, but they saved it by the end.
The main event, I've seen mixed stuff on, and I think it generally has to do with what you thought about Nia's performance.
That's literally it.
I didn't like her performance. She's very one-dimensional, and she's modern day monster. She's the modern day monster. She's got like two or three moves. She was setting up the big splash in the corner time after time after time, and even did hit it. But I would say the first 5 minutes was actually pretty bad, but they did do a better job as it got going. You know what I thought, though?
It was a little sloppy.
I would have loved to see the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg kind of match for this one. Do 7 minutes, nothing but power stuff, kicking out of power stuff, and finally Rhea wins at the end. I think it would have been a better, especially for that live crowd, I think it would have been way better.
You know what's funny about that is I swear to you, I thought the same thing when Rhea first came out. I told my friend, I was like, what if she just beats her in like 2 minutes? And then he actually said, I swear to God, he goes, you mean like Lesnar and Goldberg at Survivor Series? I was like, yeah. And then he goes, how would you feel like if Goldberg beat Nia Jax in 2 minutes? And I was like, dude, I would pay money to see him jackhammer. We're both taking medicinal. I would love to see Goldberg jackhammer freaking Nia Jax, bro. Tell me that wouldn't be a visual.
I don't know if this version of Goldberg, I mean, she would have to go up for him really nicely.
Maybe Rhea Ripley. You know what? Maybe Jade Cargill can jackhammer her.
Well, you saw the Royal Rumble match where Jade went to body slam?
I was there, yeah.
And Nia kind of screwed it up.
She's clumsy.
She hopped on one foot, so she didn't go up nicely, and Jade kind of struggled with her in the slam. So, all right, let's talk about this from the beginning. I missed the pre-show match. The Kabuki Warriors match.
Half of it. I missed half of it.
But, you know, it was there for Indy Hartwell to get the nice hometown reaction. But that was the reason why I kind of skipped it, is because to me, this was like a Raw match. It was, I'm sure it was fine because the Kabuki Warriors are really good. But I did miss it. What did you think of what you saw?
I like what I saw. They can work. I'm a big fan. I will say this, maybe controversially so, but it's true. I do feel like I'm a big fan of Asuka, but I am starting to sense that she's starting to go past her prime now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think her prime years were probably over around 2022. It just feels like she's starting to slow down a bit. It happens to everyone. I'm not saying that it doesn't, because you know we can't beat Father Time, but it does kind of feel like she's slowing down a bit. She's not like how she was in 2017, 2018, when she was just a beast. Mm-hmm. So, but the match was good. I mean, from what I saw, but I didn't even know that we're doing a pre-show match. I woke up at 4:45 and I turned on expecting to see like Booker T or one of these guys talking, and I see a match and I'm like, oh, did we miss the show? And then I realized it was a pre-show match. Did they announce it on SmackDown or something? Because I didn't see any announcement for that.
I saw it on the Wikipedia page, actually. They probably said it on SmackDown, but I was zipping through SmackDown.
I didn't see
like
SmackDown.
Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't see SmackDown. I just read the results.
So the opener is the Women's Elimination Chamber, which I thought was pretty darn good. The story of this match. Now, you know, if you have folks who were like, this entire match was predictable, I would agree with you.
I think the entire show was predictable.
Show was really predictable.
Super predictable, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Does not always mean it's bad.
And as you head towards WrestleMania, a lot of the stuff should be predictable because it's really what you want to see or what they've been setting up. But we had Becky Lynch, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez had a flare up of the thing that she's been having issues with, the MCAS. And I guess it happened on the plane ride to Australia where her face, she said there was swelling and it kind of became pink and blew up a little bit like a balloon. And I don't know if you noticed, but I could tell that her makeup was way different than normal. So I thought it was possible that something had happened. I couldn't tell if she was wearing makeup or not, but it was clear that her look was a little bit different. So I was like, oh man, I wonder if she had the flare up. And so that's what happened, but she was able to work the match, which was great. I'm glad that she could do it. So you had, you know, the story of the match was, Becky goes in first and she ends up as the winner. I thought Bianca Belair was awesome in this match.
Always.
And Tiffany Stratton probably got the most out of everyone just because she came in as, you know, she's the new SmackDown star. She's from NXT. We got to see her against Becky Lynch earlier this year. She did well. She had they had a couple of spots for her to make her shine, and the fans were really into her, and they were really bummed out when she finally did get pinned. Naomi was the first one to go out. I was actually surprised a little bit to see Liv as kind of like the underdog of
me
the match.
Me too.
I thought, you know, if Tiffany Stratton was a little bit more of a veteran in the ring, they could have probably swapped out roles. But I think they had to be really careful with Stratton here because her matches on SmackDown have been not as clean, and when she's not been able to do a lot of the rehearsing that she's able to do on NXT. So I think, you know, she's still developing. She's just got to get more reps underneath her belt. She's got that star quality. But yeah, Liv Morgan sort of fits that role. So the end of the match is the three women left are Belair, Becky Lynch, and Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
So Belair tries to hit the KOD, which she did hit on Raquel earlier, which was awesome.
Right.
But Morgan reverses it into a stunner or like a jawbreaker move. Belair recovered and went to hit Becky with the KOD, but Becky managed to get out of it. And then Liv Morgan rolled up Bianca and pinned her and then walked right into the rock bottom or the manhandle slam by Becky, and she pinned Liv to win. It was very specific that they were not going to have Becky pin Bianca here, so I imagine we see something down the road between them that was probably very specific for a reason to not have that happen. But hell, Becky, it's time. We could see Becky and Rhea at
big
WrestleMania
match,
which they've been building for, you know, the whole year so far.
That's a big match, yeah. And you know, I'm actually glad because originally Jade Cargill was supposed to be in this match. And I'm actually glad that she wasn't because she shouldn't be getting pinned. And the only way that should have been this match if she would have won, unless you have Bianca pin her. So they still have that Bianca Jade Cargill like athletic women's match they could do at WrestleMania in their back pocket if they want to do it. That way you get them on the card. But Becky and Rhea Ripley, I think, is phenomenal. You've got the most over woman now versus the most over woman from like 5 years ago pre-pandemic. My friend asked me during the show if he thought that Becky was as hot now as she was in 2019. And I told him no, but she's not that far down. Like she hasn't completely fallen off.
She's she's not as hot as like the star power, but she's transitioned into the main star of the division. Like no matter what, she's just
her and Rhea.
Present. Yeah, but she's the present, like she's the dependable, consistent star. Her star power is never going to go lower than it currently is, and I think, you know, it's going to be pretty amazing. Actually, somebody in the chat said Tiffany versus Bianca, which I'm not sure Tiffany's ready for that, but if they could actually plan that match out and, you know, and put together something, that would be a hell of an athletic match. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so the only other comment I have is that's pretty good, a pretty good WrestleMania when it comes to women representation, because Rhea and Becky is a big match. Io and Bayley's a big match because of the story. They have that Batista Triple H story going. And then if they want to throw in stuff like, well, the women's tag titles, but if they want to throw in like a Bianca versus Jade Cargill match or Liv versus Bianca, as you said, there's a lot of combinations they can do. I think they could actually have some, I think they should have some one-on-one matches that aren't just for the titles. Just because they have enough time now with two nights, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So mm-hmm. I say go for it, but it's going to be good. I mean, I'm actually excited to see both of those women's title matches.
Yeah. The story of
this card is looking good.
Yeah. The story of Bayley and Io had a nice little, you know, they finally pulled the lever on that angle a few weeks ago. And now you have the two dominant superstars in Rhea and Becky, and it's going to be good. And then whoever Bianca faces, if they bring in Jade, maybe there's a battle royal that Jade wins. You have the tag team titles, whatever Stratton's going to do. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that they still have on.
Nia Jax.
We'll save that one. You know, the thing is you could literally have like five or six women's matches like across the two nights.
That's what I was saying. You could. Yeah. They don't all have to be just for the titles. They have enough women now. If they had, I wonder what would have happened if they actually did get Sasha, how she would fit into this. I'm guessing it would be Sasha and Naomi trying to get their titles back. And if that were the case, it'd be another huge women's match for WrestleMania. But it wasn't in the cards. She'll be at the big business in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and no Charlotte too. You know, lest we
that injury.
Charlotte is hurt, and hope maybe you know maybe she'll be the host of WrestleMania. They always like to bring.
She'll be the host, and then CM Punk will be the host. The two should have been.
Yeah, there you go. She did take a photo, or she posted a photo recently with her and John Cena, though. I don't know. Big match John is not looking great right now after those Howard Stern comments.
Yeah. I don't think he meant for it to come off the way, you know what I mean? Like I was listening to it. If you listen to the audio, you can hear tone better. I don't think he meant to, you know, not show sympathy towards the victim. I feel like that was something he just didn't think about, like his brain, you know what I mean? Like his brain was so scatterbrained that I don't think he even thought of it, which is bad.
You know the question's coming, man.
I agree with you. He should have had a planned answer already, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He
should have.
I wouldn't have expected him to screw that thing up, but he screwed
that's
it
true.
Up.
That's true.
I also think that, you know, I don't know if I'd be doing these interviews because there's unless you just lay out completely like you should and say, you know, I'm just thinking about the victims right now and it's horrible and deplorable. That is what you have to say and what you should say.
Right.
But at the same time, that's also not what TKO wants you to say. So it's weird. I just wouldn't do anything because
Yeah, his comment made sense, though, because he's trying to – his framing of it was more so like, okay, Vince – his framing, the way I perceived it was my friend made a big mistake and he needs to be accountable for it. But it's tricky because it's not just a big mistake. This is a pattern of events that he's done. If this happened with one woman – that's different than all the rumors and all the NDAs and everything. So when there's a pattern, it becomes harder to justify the behavior. You know what I mean? And I don't think there is justification for it, but this is also the wrestling business, bro. And they just, it's like an alternate universe to ours, you know?
How much did you follow the Bill Cosby stuff?
I followed some of it, but you obviously followed it closer to me because that was your guy. I know you were a big mark for the Cosby Show.
That was completely my guy. And I recently watched a W. Kamau Bell documentary on Showtime.
About him?
He covered the whole thing, 4 episodes. He talked to a lot of the victims. He talked to a lot of the people who worked on The Cosby Show.
I need to see that.
It's really well done. It's very depressing, but it's really well done.
I want to learn about it because I know what he did, but I don't know the details of like the dates and things like that, you know?
So the problem is what I see Cena as is basically how I see the people from The Cosby Show. Malcolm Jamal Warner, who I just love. I think he's awesome. Great. Felicia Rashad, Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Was Raymond Simone interviewed?
You know what? I don't know. No, they weren't interviewed for the doc, but I've seen them in public talk about, and Felicia Rashad specifically went like aggressive on the victims and was not, and was defending, you know, they keep calling him, you know, Mr. Cosby or Dr. Cosby. And it's like just shocking that all of these things could happen and all of these women, you know, I forget the number that eventually that they had in the documentary, but it was like, you know, 70 women or something like that.
Yeah, that's not a mistake. That's like, that's maybe they both need like psychiatric help. You know what I mean? But at that point, it's not a mistake. You know what I mean? At that point,
and that's what I'm saying is with John Cena.
Yeah,
there's so much information out there that if he can't distance himself from the Vince that he knew, he should not be having these conversations with in the media, because it is a little bit, I'm sure it's a little jarring for him. You know who it's even more jarring for probably is
the family.
Well, I was thinking of Bryan Danielson and Brie Bella.
Yeah, that family. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of Shane and Stephanie. You know what I mean? Like that's your dad. You know, just think about if it was you. You know, it's a fucked up situation. Sorry for cursing, you know, but it is.
And Stephanie herself has been seen as negative recently,
as it
comes to the Ashley Massaro situation. So, all right. Well, I didn't mean to turn it that way, but, something that we're always going to have to talk about. And whenever you bring up Vince McMahon from here on out, there is a caveat to bringing up Vince McMahon. You're always going to have to acknowledge those things, just like you acknowledge the Chris Benoit situation whenever you talk about a match. Like whenever you talk about a Chris Benoit match, in the back of your head, it's not that Chris Benoit. It's a different Chris Benoit that you're thinking of. It's the same thing with Vince. You know, I'm getting that that 2K WrestleMania or the WWE 2K game.
Yeah,
and they have the 40 years of WrestleMania in it.
He's Vince probably
McMahon's
all over it.
Voice is all over that mode.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like you can, if you're going to do anything with the history of this company, he is in it. And you just have to say, this is who he was. This is, you know, it didn't just turn this way in 2024. This is just who he was. So that's what people are going to have to come to grips with. And it's just the realization of that. So
it just makes you wonder if these people like Cosby and McMahon or even like R. Kelly, if they actually can change, because it just feels like, I don't know, man, that's a dark, 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 you know, thought process. Can you really change, or is it just you're just so sick in the head that you're always going to be like this? I don't know, man.
He's
and when you got money, you can protect yourself.
Well, these guys are continually fighting for their innocence. So
right.
I'm not sure that they're even willing to change. They don't see what the problem is.
That's right. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, so undisputed tag team titles. We've got Damian Priest.
Great match.
Finn Balor. They beat the New Catch Republic. You know, I do agree with you. I thought this match was really good. You know what the main problem with this, and we go back to the predictability of this show, I never for once thought that the New Catch Republic were going to win this match.
Same,
I would have been super surprised and kind of pumped if they did, but everything that happened in this match, they tried desperately to get us to think that the New Catch Republic was going to win. There was stuff with Dominic, you know, cheating and the, you know, and them.
The referee
didn't do a great job. It was right in front of her too. I didn't think that was very well done, but that, you know, that they had a really good match. If this was like on television, you go, damn, that was a great television main event. On a pay-per-view, it was still good.
Dude, I thought it was awesome,
but there was just no believability that the New Catch Republic were going to win. And I thought that hurt it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with this show. I said it in my review too. Every single match predictable. Let me tell you, in the men's chamber, I literally predicted not just who would win, every pinfall. And I swear I got all. The only thing I didn't get right was Logan Paul screwing over Randy at the very end.
Yeah.
But every other pinfall, I even told my friend, I swear to God, I was like, watch, Randy will pin this guy and this guy. Drew will pin this guy and this guy. And then Drew will pin Randy. And that's exactly what happened. But again, does that hurt the show? Maybe a little bit. I don't. But the thing is, I'll be honest with you. None of the wrestlers were bad, but this is not really a show that I kind of want to rush to go see again. You know,
no,
like
no,
the Royal Rumble. When I got home from the Royal Rumble and from SummerSlam, I wanted to watch them because I was at both those shows live. I wanted to watch them like on the network or on Peacock. This show, it was fine. It was good. It just, yeah, there's nothing really that's worth going back and seeing, you know? But the show, the match was good.
They had some production issues on this show that they don't normally have.
Yes, they did. I noticed
They lost the feed.
Like twice.
And then there was some sound stuff. I don't know if they bleeped guys out, but there were moments, especially during the men's chamber match when LA Knight came in, like the it just went silent for like 10 seconds or something.
I thought he was cursing or something.
That's
right?
What I thought too, but yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. And you know, we had that in here when Dominic interferes, the video goes to black for like 5 seconds, which I was like, oh, someone's coming in or somebody's doing something, and it was like, no, they just lost a rare production flaw for WWE.
Yeah, it was the Pirates, bro. The Pirates finally got him.
Exactly. So the finish was pretty fun. They did a double choke slam. I think a Priest was sitting on the top rope, so he got and choke slammed both of the New Catch Republic.
They were trying to get him in the Spanish Fly, and then Finn Balor held on to the foot. It was a good move. Yeah,
and so he hits the choke slam, and then he tags in Finn, and Finn goes to the other corner to hit the coup de grace on Dunn for the win. So, where do you think they're going? Where are we going with WrestleMania for these tag titles?
It feels like they're going with Miz and Truth,
mm-hmm.
But like, does anybody? Here's the thing: it feels they're going with Miz and Truth, but I feel like, even though Truth is entertaining and Miz has charisma, they just, that team is like got kind of a jobber team now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So if they do the match at Mania, I can't see Miz and Truth winning. It feels like the Judgment Day will retain, which I'm fine with. I don't care if they hold on to the tag titles, because Who else is there? They got they already beat DIY, I think.
Yep.
They beat Alpha Academy. They've beaten pretty much every tag team. They haven't beaten the Vikings yet, so they could do that.
You got you got the Creeds if you want to go the Creeds route.
Yeah.
You could you
even bring up Bron Breakker and
Baron Corbin.
You could do that if you wanted to. Yeah.
I thought what they could do to, you know, liven up this truth thing is, you know, because he's constantly just getting his ass kicked now. Like, Judgment Day just keeps beating him up. And you could have The Miz come for the save, and then they just start beating up The Miz. And then who comes out to save The Miz in truth? None other than R-Truth's hero, John Cena. And you could do Cena in truth for the tag titles, but I think you would also have them lose that match. But I think Cena in truth
is the Cena tag coming in for this Mania.
I have no idea, but that's what I would do. Now, there are some who will say, well, how can you bring Cena back when he just did that thing with Vince? And I'm just like, well, this WWE fan base doesn't really seem to care about any of this stuff.
Not just that, but he was not involved in the lawsuit. If Cena was one of the names in there, different story.
Yes.
It was bad PR, but he's not guilty of what Vince did.
Right. Right. 100%. Yeah.
So I was thinking
that's what I would do.
I was thinking if they do get Cena, obviously your idea works. If they can't, I mean, if they want to make this a WrestleMania that like we'll never forget, do the Judgment Day versus DIY versus Truth and Miz in a TLC match. Bring back TLC with three teams. If they're like, why not? It's the 40th WrestleMania. We saw it at 17 and 16. Why not bring it back for the 40th show?
TLC, baby. We haven't seen a TLC in quite a long
years.
Time.
Yeah. And the Hardys and Edge and Christian are in AEW, so you can't use them.
No, I remember when the Hardys came back at that one WrestleMania.
I think you
were texting me at that time saying how that was like a crazy
one
pop.
Of the loudest pops ever. The whole building was rumbling. I couldn't even believe it. That was awesome. And remember, they wrestled the Young Bucks the day before. in Lakeland. Yeah.
You were not that match though, right?
No, I wasn't. It's about 20 minutes away from where I live now, not where I live then.
Yeah. That was crazy. Crazy times.
I miss those times. I really do.
All right. We had the Grayson Waller effect with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And
Austin Theory was there to cause a ruckus.
Austin Theory did the intros and he was cutting promos on the crowd. Grayson Waller came in kind of like a baby face. Now, they did something on SmackDown on Friday where Roman wanted to talk to Grayson Waller, but he couldn't talk on the television. It was only for Grayson Waller's ears. I don't know what that was based on what they did in the ring here with the interview.
It feels like when I was watching it, they were setting up Cody and Seth against Grayson and Theory for like a TV match to get Cody and Seth like a win as a tag team. But I remembered, wait, they can't do that because Seth is still recovering from his knee thing. So I'm 100% expecting Cody to wrestle Theory on television, either on Raw, SmackDown. It's going to be the next few weeks. Also, I want to comment that Drew McIntyre is not leaving. He's probably going to win the title at WrestleMania because he pinned Cody Rhodes. That's the only time Cody's been pinned outside of Lesnar. I'm sorry, outside of Reigns.
Yep.
So there's no way Drew's going to AEW if he just pinned their top guy. That's being set up for something later.
Sure does not seem like it at all.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. But you know what? He's a great heel right now. Dude, when he cut that promo saying my prayers came true, I was marking out. I was marking out. That's phenomenal heel work.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, of course,
we got a dragon for Punk to slay when he gets back.
Yeah, absolutely. He's still wearing the shirt with the Punk's tombstone on it.
He should wear it all year till Punk comes back, man.
That's pro wrestling. Basically, Seth in this interview says that I think he said in a couple days he's going to be cleared.
His sunglasses, bro, with the thing in the middle. He has three eyes.
I think that's a Prince thing.
I think maybe.
So I saw some people on Twitter saying that was a Velveteen Dream thing because I think he did wear another one of those guys.
Remember, I told you the other day, it's a lot of scumbags, and you're like, those are criminals. I'm like, it's the same thing. You know, just scummy people.
But yeah, so someone said Velveteen Dream, and then I've also seen other people say no, like Velveteen Dream got it actually from Prince. So it, the credit is probably to Prince. And then this with sunglasses, you know, he flipped them up like I don't know if anybody remembers Dwayne Wayne from a different different
yeah,
world.
Yeah, not the Miami Heat guy.
No, not Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, the one who married what's her name in the season finale.
Yeah, Jasmine Guy.
That's it.
But he would wear the flip up glasses, but this one had a third thing, and it was only the middle one was flipped up. So that was the Seth look for this show. But Seth basically says he's good to go. You know, he's going to be cleared. And then Cody went in on The Rock a little bit. He did not get disrespectful on The Rock, but he was making fun of some of his catchphrases. And he turned Rock's hashtag of Cody Crybabies into a positive thing for those fans, you know. And the thing, it just got me. And I was actually talking to Dave Meltzer yesterday on Wrestling Observer Radio. He said that when Roman beat Cody at WrestleMania last year, we all thought that was the wrong decision and that Cody was going to slow down. But in fact, Cody is more over today than he was this time last year.
Just like I said he would be, but what do I know?
And so I said to Dave, I said, you know who kind of got ruined or who
Sammy?
No, who got a little screwed by Cody losing is actually The Rock. The Rock is the one.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Screwed a little bit by Cody losing that match because now the fervor is so hot for Cody that even The Rock is not enough to take the hardcore fan base.
The Rock, I think The Rock Roman match is going to happen anyways. I think that's inevitable. I will say this. I do want to give a shout out to the great Brian Last because he made a comment that put a huge smile on my face.
Okay, so wait. I have talked to Brian Last before. He seemed to be a nice person, but he just parrots really bad stuff on his podcasts, doesn't he? Like really bad Cornette stuff?
Sure, he's Cornette's guy, but that's what I was going to say was he made a very good point. He said, Seth Rollins' character makes sense if you just pretend he's on PCP. Makes perfect sense. And he's right about that. The way he behaves, he's on PCP.
A late 90s WWF wrestler.
Yeah, like Adam Rose, who was on E, who was on Ecstasy. And nobody understood that character, but I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, you did too.
The rave guy. You're a rave guy, from what I know. So then Cody challenged The Rock. Now what they didn't do is the tag team thing, which
not
is
yet.
What I thought they were going to do.
Me too. I thought they were going to do that. I don't know, but they still got 5 weeks.
Yeah, Cody. So Cody challenges Rock to a match. He says any place, any time, and Seth then taps him on the shoulder, and this is where I thought Seth was going to say, look, man, you know, you do one-on-one and the bloodline is just going to ruin it. I need to have your back. We need to do a tag match. But he didn't say that. He just said he was going to be in Cody's corner no matter what. So that is what they set up. And I imagine we'll get a reply from Roman and The Rock on television this week. Now, I am supposed to go to Raw on Monday. We'll see. You know what the get-in price for Raw, the last time I checked?
It's
like $155 just to sit in the second deck.
It used to be $25 for nosebleeds at one time. Hell, when I went, so remember, I went to the first Raw of 2013, which was The Rock's return when he confronted CM Punk, and I had third tier, and I think I paid like $70. It wasn't even that expensive, maybe 50. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, so if I'm still working on my
you doing Mania?
Sweet tickets. No. Mania, you know the story with me and Mania is my ex-wife's birthday is first week of April. My current wife's birthday is the same exact day on the first week of April.
That is insanity. coincidence of it all.
So, Mania will be hard for me generally.
I'm an April guy too. Why don't you take them to WrestleMania for their birthday?
She went with me to Double or Nothing last year. You remember that?
Yes, I do. I do. So, I didn't know she went with you. I know she went with you on the trip, but I know she went to the show.
Yeah, she was in the. We were in the suite. We paid quite a pretty penny to sit in the suite so that I didn't want her to be out in the crowd with the crazies. So
next time, let me know and I'll chip in. I was wanting to do the suite.
Yeah, yeah. The suite is pretty. The suite is incredible.
I've done it once and I loved it.
Yeah. So, all right. So yeah. So that whatever the storyline is going to be, we kickstarted it off here on Elimination Chamber, and I saw a lot of notes on. It was like 55 minutes between the end of the tag team title match and the beginning of the men's Elimination Chamber. So it's a whole hour where there's no wrestling on the screen.
They took their time, didn't they?
They took their time. All right, Drew McIntyre. Now, I know some people are down on that, and I get it. This is why I specifically do not watch live. But the reason, part of the metric, is that Peacock wants minutes watched, right? That's a metric for them. It's something that they care about, is minutes watched.
So
the longer these shows are, the better it is for Peacock. So that's why these shows are so long. Okay, we get to the men's Elimination Chamber. Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens. Outside of Kevin Owens, this was like a bunch of jacked dudes. Now Logan Paul's a little on the thinner side, but he's still got a great physique. But man, I'll put Drew, Randy O, LA Knight, and Bobby Lashley. Put these guys in the 91 Royal Rumble and they'll fit right in.
Absolutely. And 92.
And 92.
The best one. Hey, but you know what? I like how Kevin Owens was behaving. It kind of made me laugh. Banging on Logan Paul. There was a spot in the match that was so stupid. I swear. Bobby Lashley is doing the thing where he's throwing Logan's face into the pot, and then Owens is like forearming it. And I turn over to my friend and I go, I don't think that makes the blow hurt more. And he goes, yeah, that's pretty stupid. So we were just laughing.
I'm sure that was just for the noise for the live crowd. Because you saw how some of those people, how far away they were.
I was going to say, this is not a pleasant show to watch live. I mean, I'm not saying those people didn't get their money's worth, but when you're the way that stadium is set up, I mean, you know, the bleachers are far from the middle of the ring, and then there's a chamber that's in the way. So your eyes can't see through all the little gimmicks. So you're probably looking at the screen. We had the best seat in the house, man.
Also, though, on the television version, as the sun was setting on the show in this match, if you were right in the middle of the ring where they were doing some of their stuff, there was like a shadow that was like a shadow faces
in the middle of the ring.
Weird. At first, I thought, I was like, why are they blurkling out like the fate? Like, what's going on? And it was just the shadow from the
right in the middle, too, of the ring.
Yeah. Okay, so my thoughts on this match. I thought this match was really about high spots. And I'll tell you what I mean when I say that. The women's match, I thought, was very cohesive. Like, there was a theme, and the theme was, how are we going to get Becky all the way through to the end? Because she's going to win this match. And you have your twists and turns. And ultimately, you know, it's Becky. Is it Bianca? And you get to that end. This match, similarly, I think most people thought it was going to be Drew. And there was an outside shot that maybe Randy O was going to win this match. But how they got there was a little bit different.
Yeah,
there were a lot of spots in this match where you could tell that the camera, and now this is a camera that cuts so often. So anytime the camera was like on a specific thing for more than like 5 or 6 seconds, you're like, oh, they're setting something up. They don't want us to see something.
Yeah. When Logan put on the Nux, that was it.
Yes.
And that was good camera work, though. I like that.
No, it's fine because they're trying to, again, they're trying to disguise what is going to happen. I'm totally fine with it, but it just felt like you had these specific high spots that they wanted to highlight, But when you didn't have the moments of those high spots, I thought the match was kind of boring. Like, especially early on when they were getting to all six guys in the ring.
Yeah.
I thought it was really slow. Like,
yeah, the modern chambers are just, they don't hit like the old ones. You know, we were discussing which was the best chamber show. And for me, it's still 2009. That was like the best Elimination Chamber show they've ever done. It's just these matches, bro, are so watered down now. Like,
have you ever been to a chamber match live?
No, I never have. I've never seen the chamber live. But like, you know, but even Hell in a Cell, right? When you have this gimmick every year on one pay-per-view, it gets watered down. The Rumble surprisingly has the whole surprise factor going for it, so it helps. But the chamber, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying they've already done so much with the previous chambers. They're kind of running out of things to do, you know, in these chambers.
Yeah. You didn't have.
They should give it a rest.
Well, okay. Logan Paul was the closest thing you had to that super athletic guy who was going to do crazy stuff. You didn't have the Kofi. You know,
I've been
to a chamber match in Oakland, and I want to say Johnny Nitro was in it, and he did the Spider-Man thing on the top of the cage, at the top where he was kind of scaling it,
right,
and then hanging from it like that kind of thing. So they didn't have that one. And it was, like I said, it was a bunch of big buff dudes in this match. I would not have started it off with LA Knight, because I think out of all of those guys, LA Knight is probably the, and he's not a bad wrestler, but he's not the, I would have put Kevin Owens with Drew McIntyre to start that match. Logan Paul was going to bring a lot of the craziness. So you want to save him. You don't want him to be in there long. But I don't know, LA Knight I thought him being in there in the beginning kind of ruined it a little bit, because he's not that worker bee guy that you want in, you know, to get through that first 5 minute period. And
that period was long.
It was long. It was long and it wasn't great. And, you know, Drew being in it for the whole time, I guess it made sense from a storyline perspective, because like you said, as we get to the end, Randy Orton just starts hitting the RKO on guys and getting pins, and he does so on Logan Paul, who had just put the brass knucks in the tights and he pulled them out. Now, here's something I've always wondered. Were those brass knucks in his tights the whole time, or were they under the ring and he grabbed them? And just because wrestling with brass knucks in your tights would not be comfortable, I don't think. And they could slip out, they could fall down and down your leg. So he must have had them underneath the ring and just grabbed them like right before or something.
That's my guess. Yeah, that's my guess. I mean, what I thought they were going to do, I swear, is when Randy hit the RKO and got the pin, I swear I thought Randy was going to take the knucks, put them on himself, and try to hit Drew. And then Drew would have turned around, kicked them, and got the pinfall. Because yeah, then that would have been like a little – because I was thinking that's a good character moment for Randy to go to try to tease a little tiny heel thing, but then get caught by Drew. But we should go back for a minute, because LA Knight was eliminated because now I guess the cage door is not locked anymore.
Well,
it happened twice. Yeah.
That was another one where it just took forever for Bobby Lashley to get out of the ring. And when you saw how long it was taking him to get out of the ring, then you're like, okay, something's going on here.
And then AJ came in and laid out LA Knight. And like I told you in December, LA Knight versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Yeah, there you go.
Which is fine. It's not a match that I think is going to, you know, be the show stealer or anything, but it makes sense based on what they're doing.
I think it's a match set up for LA Knight to win, because I think AJ's winding down. I mean, we heard he was going to be done in the next couple of years. So,
by the way, when did AJ become a body guy?
I don't know, but he's jacked. He's never been this big. Maybe you think he has a few more years left. Maybe he won't retire.
I mean, as long as he can go without getting hurt, I would say. But okay, now we grew up. And we went through this era in the early 90s where Hulk Hogan went on Arsenio Hall and lied about using steroids, right? And then we go through the whole Vince trial. And then post
91, 92.
And then post Benoit, they do put some sort of steroid policy into place. And like now, these guys come back and they're 45 years old and they're bigger than ever, including Randy Orton. Like, Randy Orton is bigger than we've ever seen him, and we've seen every part of his career.
No stack of dimes.
So giant. Like, I mean, do we just, as wrestling fans, do we just go, yeah, that's just the business? Are we supposed to call them out on no steroid policy?
Like, it's HGH, isn't it? It's got to be.
I don't think people take HGH by itself to get big.
They stack it.
I think they stack it. But, you know, the thing is, I know people, I mean, you know who's talked about it? TRT. Andrew Zarian has...
I think I remember you saying something like that.
Has talked about, he's gone on the air saying that he gets testosterone, and it's just kind of like a health thing for him. He's like, it makes me feel great.
Me too.
But but Andrew is also not putting 30 pounds of muscle on, like, you know.
I'm trying to. Yeah. It's not that easy, let me tell you. But yeah, you're right. And then AJ, but he can still do all his moves.
Yes, he can.
And that's good. I mean, but it kind of makes me sad because he's going to wrestle LA Knight, probably lose to him in theory. Then what do you do with him? Like, it just feels like he's going to end up being this, like, gatekeeper who will be, like, the guy you beat before moving up to the next rung, like Jake Roberts was in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, and I don't know if being a heel is necessarily the right thing for him because I don't really think people want to boo him necessarily. You know, you don't really like booing like the older guys.
He's kind of a legend now, in a way. Yeah,
he is, very much so. So as we get to the end, Orton hits Logan Paul as Logan Paul has the Nux and he pins him. And for all that we know, because we don't see anything, Logan Paul is done and he's out of the ring. And all of a sudden they're getting into their stuff with Orton and Drew. And all whack. Of a sudden, just whack out of nowhere, Logan Paul throws that right hand. You know, because he learned how to box, the right hand when he first came into wrestling actually looked really good. It actually looked like a overhand right. Now it starts to, now it looks more like a wrestling punch than a real punch, but that's his gimmick. Knocks out Randy O. Randy O loses, and Drew McIntyre's current gimmick is he's a hypocrite, and you know he calls out everyone for their lying and their cheating, and at the same time he's a heel and he's accepting the victory. And I'm sure he'll cut a promo and say, look, I had Randy Orton right where I wanted him, and you know, Logan Paul was just there, I would still have beaten him and I would still be the winner of this match. So
well, it's interesting because I really thought after the finish at the Rumble and after what they were building to that they were going to do Kevin Owens and Logan Paul at Mania again. But now that Logan laid out Randy, clearly it's going to be Logan and Randy. Now, there's two ways they can go about this. They could have Randy and Logan for the U.S. title, or what I think might be more likely is they do the U.S. title match with Kevin Owens and Logan on television, SmackDown or whatever. Kevin Owens pins him, takes the title because Randy screws him. Then you can have Randy and Logan Paul, and then Kevin Owens defend the U.S. title against anybody else. Hell, maybe Sami Zayn again. What's he doing? You know, what's he doing?
Where are you with Sami? Are we setting him up to beat Gunther?
Like, I think he's being set up to go on a losing streak, which I hate. I hate that. It never works.
Well, he's got Nakamura on Monday. So we'll see what happens there.
He's probably going to lose. Didn't he already wrestled Nakamura.
He already lost to Nakamura.
Yeah, yeah.
If he is going to go on a winning streak from here on out, I kind of like the storyline of him beating Gunther. But if he's not going to get impressive wins before WrestleMania, I don't like the Hail Mary storyline of all of a sudden, you know, you win by surprise. I build these guys up. I like that way better.
I wanted to see Gunther and Lesnar real bad. It's unfortunate what happened because as a selfish wrestling fan, I wanted to see it. And I thought for sure they'd have Bron Breakker go in, but it looks like Breakker's going to be a tag champion on Tuesdays and then on Fridays be on SmackDown. So I don't think they're going to put him on Raw as well. You know what I mean? So now I am wondering who Gunther's Mania opponent's going to be because that is a big question right now.
Now, what if...
It could be Kevin Owens.
What if... That'd be pretty interesting. What if Logan Paul decides to bring in his brother as a tag team?
Yeah, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against Logan. I said that today, the Paul brothers.
That would be interesting. But who, if it's not Kevin and Sammy, who could Randy team up with to have a tag team match against the Paul brothers?
Andrew Tate? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a real, maybe Braun Breaker. I don't know.
But I'll tell you what's weird. On Raw, we saw like the Michael Chandler promo or whatever, the Connor thing. And on this show, where we saw I forget the guy's name, the UFC guy, Talalia, Talu, whatever.
Tuivasa, yeah.
Tuivasa, right, yeah. The crossover that we thought wasn't going to happen is happening before our very eyes, yo. We're seeing it before our very eyes. And yes. It's so weird. It is so weird because I'm telling you, there's going to be a UFC show coming up where Joe Rogan is going to interview, like, Paul Heyman or some shit.
But
you know what I'm saying?
The crossover has happened before. That's how Undertaker and Lesnar started, remember?
Of course, but that was a while ago. Now it's like, okay, now we're seeing it within one company.
But with the when TKO came together, they showed McAfee, Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince, I think, ringside to
UFC. That's right. Yeah. It was right before the sale. Yeah. You know what, bro? Survivor Series War Games, Team UFC against Team WWE. That'd be awesome. You know all those UFC guys are marks, right?
A lot of them are pro wrestling fans.
That's what I'm saying. Put them in there. That'd be awesome, bro.
I got to talk to my buddy Ryan Frederick and ask him who's like the best possibility for a crossover UFC to wrestle.
I would say DC. I mean, dude, remember? Okay, you remember that awesome Brock promo at UFC? You know, you're a piece of shit. Steve is a piece of shit. Like he booked himself in three fights that we never saw. But me and my friends theorized that we're going to get DC and Lesnar in WWE, and they were going to borrow the footage, you know, kind of do that kind of crossover. But DC is so out of shape.
Yeah, it's gotta be a t-shirt match.
Yeah, he's so out of shape, but now Lesnar might not ever come back. So
the other thing about DC though is he's got a back problem. It'd probably be pretty hard for him to do wrestling.
Well, when you're carrying all that weight, bro, I can understand having a back problem. So, but yeah, that's the match they should have done at WrestleMania, and they haven't done it. So they probably
who probably would be pretty good at wrestling almost immediately.
Stipe?
John Jones.
Oh, of course. And Israel Adesanya, he'd be a good choice for Team UFC.
You could tell he loves wrestling.
He's a mark. That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. Oh, my God. I want Team WWE against Team UFC.
All right, let's talk about this main event. Obviously, the match
order. It was all about Rhea Ripley.
Match order was perfect. You get Rhea out there, and Nia Jax is like, she's kind of doing this was kind of a Hogan from the 80s.
Definitely.
Match in a sense,
where David and Goliath,
the big heel, even though Rhea's not small, right? Rhea is still a tall woman, and she's built and she's physical, but you had, you know, there's this Hogan and Bundy, Hogan and Andre, Hogan and Bossman kind of match that always drew for that 80s WWE audience. I don't think it worked as well as it would have if they were not in Australia. Because they were in Australia, it was fine.
Right.
I just did not like the Nia piece of it. I just think she's so one-dimensional.
She's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Clumsy. She's very clumsy, and I don't like that.
I think she has something. You could tell she leans into the heel stuff. She makes herself so unlikable. Like, you kind of think that she's just this nasty person. And I don't know, maybe she is, I don't know. But she and Charlotte are like best friends. They're always doing like TikTok dances and stuff. But she's got something from like a heel charisma persona. But when I watch her in the wrestling matches themselves, I just don't think she's very good. And I think it shows when you're trying to do this long match where Rhea is basically Hulk Hogan from 1988, 1989. And Rhea did a pretty good job. They like you said, there was some wonky stuff.
And they showed her family and, like, you know, when she won, she celebrated with them. And she was kind of emotional when she got in the ring. This is kind of like, this is one of those, like, it's like Sami Zayn last year. Like, this is the show for you. And you know what? I kind of like that. Like, I kind of like when pay-per-views put the hometown hero at the end and have them win. Like, for so many years, you would lose in your hometown or get embarrassed. And yeah. I like how they're doing that, you know?
Or you can't always
have them win. But
or
yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin would open you up hard way like he did Jim Ross in Oklahoma.
Oh, God. 2001, yeah. Oh,
my God.
Well, also, the booking made sense because Nia Jax beat Becky Lynch on television about a month and a half ago. The booking makes sense before the Rumble. I predict that Becky Lynch will wrestle Nia Jax on Raw sometime in the next 5 weeks and get her win back. Get her win back. Yep. Or if Becky does get the title from Rhea, then you have a Nia Jax as the ready-made competitor. Although, I'll be honest with you. As much as I like Becky, I think Rhea might retain that title, bro. I'm looking at her like the female Roman Reigns right now.
Okay, so here's what I was going to ask you, which is we've had this small budding leadership tug of war between Rhea and Priest.
Rhea is the real leader of that group.
Now, should Priest on Raw go, hey, you know, you look like you were trying to get the cheers and you were trying to, you know, are you not on the same page as the rest of us on Judgment Day? And, you know, she's going to say, you know, I just had to win the match and I did my job and blah, 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 blah. But if Becky does win and she beats Rhea, that could kickstart a heel turn because you could have the Judgment Day come out and Dane.
Well, they're already heels.
They could kickstart her babyface turn because they could come in and blame her for losing and, you know, Dom could actually. And then she's got to kick Dom's ass, and that could kickstart a babyface run for her. That would be the only thing. That'd be the only way I would have Becky win is if you have Becky win, and in turn you then create a new babyface out of Rhea out of that.
But, well, I do think either that or the Drew beats Seth, and then Priest cashes in on Drew and gets the title, and that would be like the reverse. That would not be a heel cash in because Drew's whole thing is. He wants to win it in front of fans so he can beat Seth, and he can even beat him by cheating. Then when Punisher Martinez cashes in and he beats Drew, it's almost like he's turning babyface. Because I do feel like whether they do what you're talking about, which is split Rhea off or split Priest off, I do think that this year, 2024, the Judgment Day's kind of ran its course. I think that this is the time, not saying to break them up tomorrow, but I think the breakup should happen by the summertime. That's the way I view it.
Yeah,
and you could do either way. I just feel like Priest is going to cash in at Mania after Drew wins. I just have that feeling.
Interesting. I mean, we've been waiting for it. He's had that briefcase forever.
And
now.
I'm glad they're holding on to it. I got tired of. Remember how they would win it and then cash in like the same show or the next month? Like, I hated that. What Nikki Ash did that and like.
What about
Bailey
when Sandow was like.
That was way back. Oh, God. Yeah, he got jobbed out. He got jobbed out. Like, yeah. I like the fact that they're waiting. No, the worst one was when what's his name cashed in for the U.S. title theory. That was bad because Didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Or when they had Big E as a babyface do the heel cash in. That was stupid too.
Right. But remember, they gave that away because that was they wanted to get the rating. So they on Twitter, they were like, I'm cashing in tonight. Yeah, they gave it away, bro.
Yeah. They were in the midst of getting better at the creative around that time. They had to clean things up. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this road to WrestleMania here. In prior lifetimes, you and I would do weekly shows about the road to WrestleMania, and we'd recap where stories were. I even did that. We did that on this channel last year. Now, no more pay-per-views in between now and WrestleMania.
Turn it up.
I think we've seen some things kind of, open themselves up to what we're going to see at WrestleMania. Let's talk about the main thing, which is Cody and Roman, which they kind of had detoured us. And now we've learned, if you've read all of Dave Meltzer's reporting on how and why and all the things about the reason why this happened, it seems pretty clear that The Rock was coming in and maybe the timing of it, they did not have a detour for the Royal Rumble story that they were going to tell before he came in. And so they just went ahead with Cody, and then Cody was going to ask out. And when he asked out of the match and The Rock was going to replace him, the internet, you included, got really frustrated at that story because
you wanted
the Cody Roman story. However,
made no sense.
We've been thinking that The Rock and Roman were going to have a match for 3 years now.
Yeah, they were supposed to do it at 38, then at 39, then yeah, they were.
So it's not like that match came out of left field in any way. It was just that that match was going to happen instead of Cody and Roman.
Yep.
And so that's what you were bummed out at.
Yeah.
So much so that you canceled your WrestleMania trip, at least at the time you did.
Kind of. There was more to it than that. But yeah, I was pretty upset because it really felt like, you think about it, it really felt like 2014 all over again when Batista came in from Hollywood and the fans turned on him. And the thing is, it's not that the fans don't like The Rock or don't like Batista. You and I both know if they see The Rock in a hotel room or in the gym, they're, oh my God, The Rock, I love you. That's fine. It's just the Cody story has been done so well since like he first came in, and WrestleMania 40 is poetic for him to do it because WrestleMania 10 was the coronation of Bret, and then 20 was, we can't talk about him anymore, and then 30 was Bryan Danielson, the co-executive writer of AEW now, and then now we have the former AEW EVP. But like, it, you know, WrestleMania 40, there are people who I talk to who think that Roman Reigns is going to beat Cody again. And it's just so ridiculous to think that. This is obviously not happening again. But the big concern was if it was going to be Roman versus Rock, Rock's not going to win the title. Roman's going to win the title. And then we have another year of Roman. That's the issue is I don't think people want another year of Roman. I think people respect Roman. I'm pretty in tune with the fans. It's not about Roman or Rock. It's that the Cody story must be finished. And they're going to finish it. It's just not going to be the way that we thought they were going to finish it. But I'm telling you right now, bro, after the third crossroads, he's going to hold them. He's going to look up at the heavens and think about his father and then hit the final crossroad. I'm telling you, this is how it's going to go down. This is how it's going to go down. 1, 2, 3, ding, 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 right? They don't play his music. Just let it sink in for a minute, right? And he gets up. Remember, Roman has not been pinned since 2019, except for that tag match, but in one-on-one. Cody gets up, and he's, like, confused. And then the ring announcer, ladies and gentlemen, the winner, and new. And that's when they start playing his music. Done, bro.
I thought you were going to say that they were going to play the American Dream song.
No. But here's what you do. When he wins, bring Brandy and Liberty and Pharaoh the dog or whatever, Phoenix. Bring them all. Bring Brody Jr. Do your little like family celebration. Everybody's crying. And we leave WrestleMania 40 with a happy ending. You know, we haven't had the coronation of a new babyface since Drew. And that was with no fans. This is the first time. So yep. I guess the last time we've seen something like this was Kofi. But I think this is more powerful.
And that wasn't even planned.
You're right. I think this is more powerful. I think Cody has connected with people, man. I mean, this guy's on social media giving out free tickets and agreeing to be the best men at Mark's weddings and whatnot. Like, he wants to be John Cena. He wants to do all the talk shows. I was there, Regis and Kathy Lee, but that was 30 years ago. But, you know, like Conan O'Brien, like, he wants to do it. Let him do it. Let Roman take his break. Roman deserves a break. Let him take it. Like a real break.
Some might say he is always on a break.
He is always on a break.
What you're talking about.
And then you good do for, Rock you know Roman what, next year.
Good for Roman for being able to leverage his contract in the way that he doesn't have to wrestle every week because that's not what he wants. But you know who wants to wrestle every week? Cody. He wants to wrestle every week.
There you go.
That's why he does it.
Give it to him.
All right, so what do you think about this rumored tag team match for night one of Cody and Seth versus The Rock and Roman?
I like it, but my question is, obviously the first question that comes to mind is what's the finish going to be? Because There's people now that think that Rock is secretly screwing Roman over. But if that's the case, I don't want the Vince Russo match where Rock is attacking Cody and then all of a sudden, oh, we were in cahoots the whole time. I don't want that.
Yeah.
But they could easily do this match to subtly continue that build to Roman Reigns and Rock. Maybe Rock and Roman fumble a move and that leads to Rock getting pinned. I don't think Cody or Seth should be taking pinfall losses in that match. I think the guy who should be losing by pinfall is The Rock. The problem is he might not want to because he's The Rock.
Well, the right finish to build to The Rock and Roman would be if Roman accidentally hits Spears. The Rock with a spear The Rock gets pinned.
Yeah, and gets pinned by Cody or Seth. There you go. Yeah. And then next year you can do Drew and Punk if you want to do that. You can do Rock and Roman, and you could do Cody, Seth, or whatever. There's a lot of guys. You could do Cody Gunther's the one I want to
see. I thought you were going to say Cody MJF for a second there.
If he's around, if he's available.
That brother better be signed by AEW.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it'd be awesome. But Cody and Gunther, I think Gunther.
That'd be good.
That'd be the guy to take it off of Cody whenever they get there.
Okay. What else have we not talked about as far as possible WrestleMania matches? I guess
there's Jimmy versus Jay.
Jimmy versus Jay.
Probably Tribal Warfare. I'm hoping they bring back the grannies, Afa and Sika. With the I hope they do it, bro. The red thing, and then LA Knight, AJ, Bianca, what's her name? If they actually decide to do it,
you think they're gonna do Jade?
I hope so. I really do, because those two can work well together. Then we've got the two women's titles matches, the Miz Truth thing if they decide to do it, Logan Paul and Randy Orton, then whatever Sammy's doing, I don't even know. Well, who's Gunther going to wrestle? Yep. Like you said, Sammy, I don't know. I hope we see Adam Pearce against Nick Aldis for the NWA title, bro, but we're not going to get that. What else is there? Like, I think that's...
Well, I wonder. I do wonder if Bad Bunny does something. He could do something.
I hope so.
And yeah, like we said, CM Punk and Charlotte are hurt.
Yeah.
So they will not be in.
What about, and you got guys like, speaking of Charlotte, Andrade, is he going to be in the Andre Battle Royal? Like, you know, there's also that. Oh, also, what? Remember, we were supposed to get Ray versus Dominic too, and Ray was supposed to put Dominic over, but I don't know if Ray's ready by then, WrestleMania.
Yeah, we haven't seen Ray in a long time.
Right. But that's the match, right? That Dominic wins this time.
So the next time that you and I record, you had an idea. To do a show of the WrestleMania matches that we did not get.
Yeah, I wanted to do the best buildups, but you were saying it might be too much research. It is 40 years.
I could tell you everything up until like 28, and from 29 to 39, I would struggle with
that. Yeah, especially that early 2010s era that was horrible. Yeah. But I mean, we could just talk about, like, obviously the twin referees angle for WrestleMania 4. Like, that's genius. Mega powers exploding. I know you're doing that with Draven, but I mean, that's one. The ultimate challenge was a step down from Mega Powers Explode, but still epic, because Vince McMahon is saying that they have the powers of gods. And then I just got done watching WrestleMania 7 again the other day. And I was so happy. I love that show to death. But that one had a great – that one had a decent buildup. I wouldn't say great. But, like, remember WrestleMania 26?
That was that one.
Yeah. The Phoenix one, that was a great, 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 great buildup. 21 had a lot of great matches built
LA.
Up.
That was L.A.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. That's what I was saying, something like that, you know.
Well, like, yeah, we'll figure out what the theme of the show will be. But we'll also do kind of the final – preview to 40 as well. It'll just be a discussion about WrestleMania in general, the history and the current version.
That's for March or for April?
We'll do it for March, and then after April we'll kind of do the fallout of WrestleMania 40 and see where things go.
What about the one about the matches we never got to see or whatever, that, you know?
We'll figure out what the theme of the next one. We could either do the builds like you said, or we could do, you know, why didn't Hogan and Flair have their match at WrestleMania?
Hogan and Flair, Sting, Austin, and Sting and Taker, Austin and Hogan.
Yeah, So Austin and Goldberg.
Oh, and Austin and Punk. Remember that was there was talk of doing that. Yeah. But and the people there were people who were saying that Austin, they want Austin to come back now. But I think he already kind of had his comeback with Kevin Owens.
He's not going to come back at the same time The Rock is coming back.
Yeah, and I also feel like after the Kevin Owens match, it did feel like closure.
It did. You know what and also felt like closure, though?
When he stunned Vince, and that was the last time we're going to see that?
No, well.
It was a bad stunner.
No, when remember when I went to WrestleMania 25, and I was so mad because the Hall of Fame sucked?
Because they had the clock, right?
Yeah, they sped all those guys up. And then Austin did the thing where they announced the Hall of Famers. Then he came down in the four-wheeler.
That's right.
That was like the biggest pop of the whole night. And so I was happy with that. But then, then we got to see him have another match.
But remember, the rumored match for that WrestleMania was Hogan and Austin. That was talked about for years. Don't forget Raw Homecoming. Hogan cut a promo on Austin challenging him for Mania and never happened. And that's what we could talk about, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. So we'll figure it out.
And
we'll
of course, March. Mania 13, Bret and Shawn, the ladder match. I mean, there's a lot we can talk about. I mean, there's a ton, you know?
Bret is probably still mad that Shawn.
Of Goldberg?
Bret's probably still mad that Shawn didn't do the favors in 13.
He lost his smile
right before. So much so, he wasn't even on that show, except he was announcing.
Yep, for the main event. Yep.
That's terrible.
Was that the show where Sid shit himself in the match?
I think
that was the match, right?
Oh,
him and Taker?
That was the match. That was a terrible, terrible main event.
Yeah, well, the previous two matches were good. There's a lot. I mean, we got Tyson in 14, and you know what? I will say this. For 15, the buildup was kind of messy. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, Vince Russo was changing things every week.
Every week, yeah, but it got messy because, like, Big Show, they were teasing a Big Show babyface turn against The Rock for, like, 3 weeks. Then they stopped it, and they did it again later. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was not the best time frame.
No, but the best thing that was going on during that time, if you remember, was the Undertaker creeping up on Vince with the teddy bear that was Stephanie's and all that. But that wasn't a WrestleMania like feud. That was like a more overarching feud.
Yeah.
Because he had the Boss Man. I think it was Boss Man and that horrible Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
I went back and rewatched
Hell in a Cell.
I will say this: I did go back and rewatch it. The one thing about that era that I think we're starting to see again in wrestling is there was like story progression and continuity, mm-hmm. like we're getting now. Like even though Russo was messy as hell, at least like stuff happened. And also, do you remember when Ken Shamrock, when they first showed Ryan Shamrock and she missed her cue and he goes, "Slap me!" And then she slaps him. Yeah, all that stuff, bro. He yelled at her to slap him. Yeah, but that was the first DVD.
That was the first wrestling DVD I had, WrestleMania 15.
You know, I still have that. And
I sold it for like $80 or something.
I think it's worth money because I have 15, 16, and 17, the original releases.
Yeah.
And I think they're worth some money now.
I sold 15 and 17 for like over $50 for both of them, I'm sure.
You should have held on to them because they're probably worth even more now. Anything with the F in there, man.
All right, so we're done here. We'll be back next month, and then once a month for this year. So hopefully things are gonna work out well for WrestleMania. And anything you got going on that you want to quickly talk about for your channel or anything else?
Well, it's crazy because UFC 300 is the day before my birthday.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, I think for this year, what I'm going to do, this is my kind of my current thing is because my main channel is doing better, I'm going to focus on work this year. Like I'm going to really hunker down. I've got some other projects got going on, like with social media and YouTube. So I'm going to do that. And then next year I might start traveling again because I actually want to go to a UFC in Vegas. I have not done that yet. And that's on my bucket list. And I would love to go even if it's once, to Arena Mexico to watch the MLL, even if it's once, and the MSG. So those are things I want to check off the
list. That was fun, dude.
Yeah, it would. I love Vegas. I might not go to Vegas this year, but I do love going.
Yeah.
It's my favorite city in the United States, but not my favorite city in the world. nothing beats Tokyo. Nothing.
You got to go back.
I mean, okay, I do want to go back, but like, okay, let me just, before we get out of here, I don't know how you feel about this, but now that Ospreay and Okada are gone, I don't even know if I'm ever going to watch New Japan again outside of Wrestle Kingdom.
What is the Forbidden Door going to be if the two top guys are now in AEW?
They might as well throw in AAA or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
they may, but we're already seeing all those matches already, so I don't know.
But you know what I mean? Like I was watching, because the thing about New Japan is Okada was like the centerpiece, and Ospreay was also like the centerpiece, Gaijin, and the fact that they're both leaving within, you know, a couple of months. They're pushing Sonata. It's not really working. Naito's broken down, as you know. Like, what are they going to do? Like, Kota Ibushi's gone. Jay White is gone. The four guys that main evented Wrestle Kingdom when I went to Japan are all out of the company now.
They may use AEW talent, I'm guessing.
Well, they're going to say Matt Riddle and Dolph Ziggler, because they are using them.
They are using them, but Moxley has a match against Naito in about a month and a half. In Chicago.
I'm sure it'll be good. I'm just saying, you know, like the G1.
But what if they built some of the AEW talent to kind of get them through that period of them getting those younger guys ready?
I wouldn't be against it. I'm just saying, me as a fan, like without Okada and Ospreay, that's what I'm saying. My desire to watch those shows has gone down. Like, I'm not saying that I'm giving up on the company, but I think there's going to be some dark times for them for at least a year or two as they rebuild, because Okada's like, dude, New Japan without Okada, like, think about how weird that is.
Might also be an interesting time to kind of dig in, because if you are into the idea that, you know, that they're gonna have to try some really interesting things because they don't have that star power, this may be a creative period for him to do some risky things to get some other things going. So it might be interesting, but yeah, the star power is really what drives the whole thing, at least for us. Now, in
the
Japan,
match quality.
In Japan, you know, it's a little bit different about what that fan base likes. But for, you know, I subscribe to New Japan World, but if I'm not watching it, then there's no reason for me to subscribe.
That's what I'm saying. And on top of that, and this is a discussion for a different show, but AEW has a lot of people under contract and a lot of top guys. So Okada and Ospreay joining the company is going to muddle things up, because they're going to take the spot of another guy, and they don't have enough television time right now. It's a good problem to have because a lot of great workers, but it's also a bad problem because when you have so many good guys, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's almost like Tony Khan is overwhelming himself.
They need to get organized for sure.
Yeah, they got to cut Ring of Honor, cut about half the roster, and like, you know, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a weird time. Me picturing New Japan without Okada is just weird. It's just very, like, it's hard to do. That's like the guy. Like, that's their guy.
He's been the guy for how many years now?
2015, right? 14, something like that.
And he was on the rise before then when he had to get over that Tanahashi bridge.
Yeah, and he lost and he finally beat him. It was great. It was a great story. And now we're in an era where Omega's not there. Jay White's not there. They're all in AEW.
Yep. Yep. No, but, you know, that's why I think the relationship with AEW is probably very important to them. You saw Tony Khan kind of go off on Rossi Ogawa on Twitter. And the whole reason for that was like to stick up for Bushiroad, because Bushiroad was frustrated with Rossi. Now, I think a lot of us are like, it's kind of weird. But when I asked Meltzer, he was like, I'm sure Bushiroad was happy about those tweets.
But so, Rossi's like beloved over there. I didn't know how beloved he was. Same thing with Scott D'Amore. When you got the company writing letters on your behalf, dude.
That was amazing. That was so amazing.
Have you watched any of the new TNA? I watched Hard to Kill. The thing is, I'm be honest. It's total indie shit. Like, it just feels like an indie show. But it's weird because those fans are there and they're chanting like TNA, TNA, and they're having a good time. And I look at them and I'm like, why are you even there? But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know what? Like, I appreciate you being enthusiastic. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword. But they got some good guys there. Like, Alex Shelley's still good. Josh Alexander. Like, and I'll be honest, I like Scott D'Amore's booking more than Tony Khan. But now Scott D'Amore's gone. But I think they might bring him back because that letter seemed to be a pretty
big deal. You saw how well Jordan Grace fit into the Royal Rumble.
They got to work with WWE, bro. Maybe they could send down there like a Liv Morgan for a couple months.
You know, the problem with that, though, is WWE's just going to take who they want.
Of course. Of course. That's how it always is.
All right. We'll be back next month for our monthly appearance by Big D, and we're just going to talk about whatever is current in those time frames, and maybe we'll throw some history stuff like we will next time. So for Big D, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.